I'm not a visitor. Stay a while. Stay forever.
This is the Boop Show for Monday, November 19th. The year is 2018. Yeah. Well, not quite as formerly energetic self. Me neither, really. It's the Boop Show with Scott Johnson and Brian Dunaway, who's right over there. Hi, Brian. How you feeling today, buddy? What's going on?
It's hard to be me.
Yeah. I'm sick, too. We all, you know, yeah. We got a little sick. Last week, I got so bad I couldn't hardly do shows on Monday and had to delay a bunch of crap during the week. I tried to get some stuff done. It's bad. I think I'm finally coming out of it, but, you know, I got the chesty chest and the whatnot, and sounds like you're kind of going down a similar road, and so we're brothers in viruses
get, we're
here.
Gonna get, that's right. We're going to get there, though, people. We just got to... This guy, you know, kind of take it slow for a minute.
Yeah,
just,
it's good video game time, I got to tell you.
Well, it's the best video game time is when you're sick, because then it's but it's a lot of mobile stuff for me when I do that.
Oh, is it? Well, here's what I do. You're right about it. It's good if you're on your butt and you're on the couch and you're not sort of staring at a computer screen. But for whatever reason, and I was going to talk about this last week, but then I got super sick. I came home from, I don't know why, but I came home from BlizzCon and we had a week back. And then I suddenly got this wild hair to just play Diablo constantly, Diablo 3, just back to it, like as hardcore as ever, running greater rifts, beating my last scores, beating my last records, getting all my gems leveled up, just raking in the gold and, you know, Paragon levels and everything else, and just all back in on Diablo. And at the same time, this is what I did while I was sick. At the same time I was doing that, I would watch that. For some reason, there's Jeopardy on Netflix now.
And it is crushing it.
Yeah,
people are digging it.
Yeah, but it's only like the two like championship series things, not a regular season yet. I think they'd be super smart to just put episodes up as they happen. I think that'd be real good. Because I like me some Jeopardy. I like some challenging trivia, and I think it's the only game show ever worth a poop. So I'll watch that. I also think Alex Trebek is a badass and totally cool, and I would hang out with that guy. But anyway, Diablo 3, while I listen to that.
I wouldn't hang out with that smart ass. Every time you get something wrong, you're like, oh, yeah. And then he would correct you. No, I wouldn't do that.
Yeah, he wants you to do everything in the form of a question. It's just a big pain in the butt, that guy.
No.
But playing Diablo calamari? Playing Diablo while I'm listening to that, for some reason, was very cathartic for me. It just chilled me out and had a little second screen going with Alex Trebek over here. And over here, you know, I got demons dropping fat loot, and it felt great. So that's what I did. But there's a lot more to talk about today. New games were played. Some of these are ones that we would have talked about last Monday. Some of these are newer than that. And in my case, definitely newer than that. And we'll just get right to them. So, Brian, I want to know, have you heard of or spent any time with or otherwise have knowledge of Frostpunk?
Let me tell you about Frostpunk.
Yeah, you ever hear of that?
I put it on my wish list. A long time ago, for Is There Any Deal? So, you know, I do that isthereanydeal.com website. And it tells me whenever a deal happens for a particular game, and I need to adjust the threshold, because I get alerts that this thing is on sale like once a week. Yeah. And it's never much more than like a couple of dollars off from what I should be waiting for it at. And so it's always on my mind. It looks amazing.
It does look amazing. It's the thing that draws me to it is the look and the feel of it. It's very much like, it's like steampunk, but if everything went wrong and now you have to survive in the cold wasteland and help humanity survive. But it's also kind of Victorian, and I don't know, it's very weird. But it's a strange game. Everybody is dying because it's just the snow has come and it won't stop.
Winter's coming.
And the game doesn't get into why, but there's, you know, whatever the implications are, there's just constant snow, constant freezing temperatures, people dying by the millions. And finally, enough of them kind of band together. They build this giant looking steam truck car machine. I don't know what it is. And they take it across the ocean. They take it across the Atlantic, which is now completely frozen over, by the way.
Right.
And they take it who knows where. and they find a place that's kind of like a little cavern. This is the story, not cavern, like a canyon. And
sounds like a great movie so far.
Oh, it would be one of my things I was going to say, and I'm so glad you brought that up. It would be an incredible, like, apocalyptic film. It'd be amazing as a movie. I kind of hope it turns into one because it's got a really good base for that. The storytelling's really strong for a game like this. But what it is it's a survival city builder. So you're building cities. You're trying to help your people survive. That comes in many ways and methods. You have to have a bunch of them working and getting coal and trees and wood. And then you got to try to keep this giant turbine furnace thing burning at night or else everyone's going to freeze to death.
No.
Got to build housing and other stuff. Now, do you remember that game War of Mine? Does that sound familiar to you?
It does sound familiar.
Or This War of Mine, whatever it was. Same
That's
developers.
That's the reason why it didn't sound familiar, because it is This War is Mine.
Sorry, This War of Mine, right?
Is that right? This War of Mine. Yeah, that's it. Yeah. That's it.
That game is the same developers, although I think this feels very different than that. But they clearly like a dark, some people are going to die in this story tale kind of deal. They're into it, right? I love city builders, and I love the idea, look, and feel of this. The sound's incredible. The UI is really nice. Like, it's a really cool game. It's been out for a bit. Came out this year, but it's been out for a bit. It's on sale for $20 right now on Steam. And I think that is due to the fact that they are, they just added an endless mode to the game. So you don't have to do these scenarios or this campaign stuff only. You can just go in and go sandbox and just build whatever you want. And there's an easier mode to that. There's a harder mode to that. Like, most of these kind of games have that sort of thing. They didn't have it at launch. So they've put it in, and it was much requested. And now the thing's on sale for $20. So I thought, you know what? I'm going to grab it. I'm going to give it a shot. And I don't know if I like it or not. I think I do. I think it might be a little grim for me. And I don't mind grim, dude. Like you said earlier, this would be a cool movie and I would be all into it. But it's pretty grim. It also sort of limits your creativity because everything's built out in a circle. So some of the screenshots and video you've seen, you see how there's the big turbine in the middle, right? And the way you build on top of that or around that is you build in circles around it, and then roads can lead out, but then you build in circles. So you're just kind of always creating these circles around your thing. The big draw here is supposed to be that you have to make really hard decisions to survive, and some of those may mean being kind of a dictator dick butt. And
dictator dick. Yeah. That's my favorite kind of dictator.
Yeah, they're the best.
I really put the dick in dictator.
Right. Always put a dick in dictator. Dictator, my favorite lineman for the Steelers back in the 70s. Ah, dictator. He could really do it. But anyway.
He could really run a line. Go ahead.
Just very grim. People are going to die because of decisions you make, but it may save the most people. Or you may decide not to have an individual die or group die, but then the whole place is going to suffer and there's an uprising. Like, it's all of that stuff. It's like playing with societal breakdown in a way that I think I'm just not in the mood for right now. I think that's
what
it is.
This sounds a lot like to me.
What's that?
Did you ever see the movie Snowpiercer?
Yes. It's very Snowpiercer. Yes.
Right.
Great comparison.
Chris Evans, Tilda Swinton. That was some, that's a wild ride there. Literally, they're on a train and it can't stop because of all the climate, the ice age that's happened.
Yeah, literally the snow in Snowpunk and Snowpiercer kind of have the same job in this. It's just to oppress everybody and to make it impossible for humanity to subsist on the surface and all that. And Snowpiercer takes obviously a different kind of tact, but
and it's kind of the same thing because at the front of the train, spoiler, Snowpiercer, 2015, whatever. You have to kind of, you end up going against somebody who is, you know, out for the train's full interest and not the individual interest. So that's interesting.
And this has got the whole, you know, it's got day-night cycles, which means it's super cold at night. In the daytime, it's like negative 20 degrees. And you can survive in that, but if it gets much colder than that, you're going to start losing people. There's disease. Those diseases spread. You got to build for that. Your people will have questions. What are we going to do about this? Like, we have a shortage of wood and we're screwed if we don't have wood to burn or to build with. And you can go in and make a law that says if we're short, the workers can be forced to work 24 hours extra straight in order to fix our problem. But you know what that does? That starts to cause, you know, problems.
Morale goes down a little bit. So you have to open up a bar and
right. And my thing is, I just don't know if I'm in the mood for that. I think I would rather play a happy little city builder of some sort, and there are plenty of those.
Yeah, you actually had mentioned the one last week. You had it in your list. What is it?
Kingdoms and Castles, that one?
Yeah, Kingdoms and Castles. That's a lot more fun, upbeat.
Yeah, and it's not all that dissimilar to what I like about city builders. It's kind of got everything I like in it, and it's cartoony and goofy, and there's also an endless mode in that where you can just sort of sandbox your way through stuff, which is cool. I always look for those. That's the mode I want. And I don't know. I just don't know. And what I'll probably end up doing is a refund on Steam, because
under 2 hours.
Yeah, you know, I wish there was almost like a happy version of the game, and that it just was more. I don't know. Not that I need everything I play to be, you know, super happy or something. I don't. I like dark stuff. I like, in fact, most of my entertainment, I prefer a little bit of an edge to it. There's a reason I love Mad Max Fury Road. I think it's one of the greatest films ever made. But part of what I like about it is we are well past the moral ambiguities or ambiguities.
Right, there you
ambiguity.
Go.
Ambiguity. Wait, that's not a word. Ambiguity is the word I meant.
No, I'm going to go with ambiguities.
Ambiguities. We're past all the ambiguities that put us all in that mess. Now we're just in the mess. And I enjoy the mess, because then it's just down to on-the-ground politics of day-to-day life and moment-to-moment survival. And that's interesting to me. But when you're in charge of a bunch of people and lives all hang in the balance, and it's the reason I get tired of, you know, I can't watch The Walking Dead too much, because... same problem, although I think it's gotten goofy in recent years, but this, it's kind of the same problem. They're never going to give me a nice place to go meet new people. It's never going to happen. The deal is, they're going to walk into a town, and the comic's the same. Ah, here's a town full of people. How are they? Oh, they seem nice. And then you find out they're already eating each other, and then they're going to eat you too. Like, it's just, I don't need it right now. I need a little happier time in my game, so I think I'm probably not going to keep going, but I may return one day to it, come back, pick it up again. That's the nice thing about the Steam Return.
It's always on sale from the alerts I get. And right now, it's at a pretty good sale at Humble Bundle. If you go over there, it's like $18, and that activates on Steam. That's a pretty good deal.
Yeah.
I don't think there's any hurry. If you turn it back in, I don't think you'll miss it too much.
I'm in no giant rush. I am in a rush, though, to find out what you think of Hidden Folks, a game I played on the iPad a couple years ago or a year ago, and I thought it was awesome. And now this thing's everywhere, so apparently other people think it's awesome. But what does Brian think of it?
Brian loves it, and I kind of wish I had got it on the Switch or something like that, because I'm playing it on the PC. Mm-hmm. Hidden Folks is a hidden object game, and you'll hear the comparisons a lot when you read reviews for Hidden Folks. It's like Waldo, Find Waldo, but it's not anything like Find Waldo. Because if you've ever played Find Waldo games in the books or whatever, and you know, you look through a mess of lines and cartoony characters to try to locate Waldo. In this case, you're looking for hidden folks, and it's monochromatic. So there's not like a bunch of color or anything. So it's either you can choose to have it black and white or some, you know, some sepia tone color.
Mm-hmm.
But it's way more than just locating visually on the screen, because they're clues. So you have a set of things you have to find at the bottom of the screen, and you'll have to choose, you know, it's like, oh, you need to find Alice, and Alice is sitting down and she has a scarf on. And then they'll give you a clue when you mouse over top of Alice down at the bottom, and it'll say something like, I don't know, Alice likes apple trees.
Yeah.
And so then you can hone in, you can kind of look in a little closer, and these maps sometimes are really big and really intricate.
Yeah, very intricate.
You have to drag around and scroll around to get to where you're looking at.
It's all very hand-drawn, ink-looking.
It's all hand-drawn. Yeah. And it's moving, too, so it's animated. So it's not like full animation, but things are usually moving back and forth and kind of gyrating. There's occasionally some things that are moving you know, an animated form across the screen. But for the most part, everything is stationary, a little movement here and there.
Makes me want to draw right now when I watch it.
It makes you want to draw because all the lines are kind of wiggly. And so there's more than just visual. There's also there's music and sound effects that go along with that. So you'll think like say there's a clue about a pig. And when you get to certain parts of the screen, when you mouse over top certain parts of the screen, you'll get a pig noise.
Oh,
and
sweet.
So, yeah, so it's more than just a visual. It's also trivia because you have to figure out riddles in the clues. And then you also have to use your ears.
They've gamified it. Yeah, they've gamified the search for something hidden in this picture thing, which usually is just like those highlights magazines at the dentist. It's like, all right, I got to find the things. And once I find the things, I'm done. And this game says, no, how about we add layers of like you said, the hint system and the animation means something. And there are puzzles to solve. If you reveal a certain thing and connect a certain thing, it'll work out. There's also kind of a weird story going on in this game.
Yeah.
It's a cool thing.
Like you said, there's weird stories. And also, it's certain areas. Like, you may be in the mountain area where you see a lot of skiing stuff goes on, and that's really tight and compact in some places, and then it's very loose in other places where there's not many things to interact with. There's a desert scene that is, it was one of the hardest ones I had to do because it is so much scrolling and panning over the map to get to the different areas and to figure out the clues that you're looking for. But it's a lot of fun. It kept me engaged constantly, and I love the little sound work, the little voices and stuff. I don't know if you have any of that in that video posted, but
yeah, let me hit.
But this. You really have to hear this to really appreciate.
And everything's voiced by the way.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
So him just. Yeah.
Yeah. Special effects are all like if there's something that needs to be moved or sucked up, there's a mouth where somebody goes, it's not like high Foley work or anything. It's just somebody making noises.
Yeah, the dev is making sounds as things get right. Like if you cut a tree or if you pick up a dude or
and if you get a train coming, it's like bing 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 bing. You know, it's like it's just these silly noises that the developer made
coming out of his mouth.
Adds to the charm.
Right out of his mouth. Yep. Right out your mouth. That's where it ought to go, you know.
But Hidden Folks, I picked this. I got this on the Humble Bundle monthly a couple of months ago. But it's pretty affordable. I think you can pick it up anytime, like for like $7 or $8.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely worth a pickup play. It came out 2017, so it's still fairly new.
Yeah.
I'm interested to see if they add more puzzles to it along the way. I haven't really followed the developer much to know that yet. But
quick side note, I would highly recommend this on an iPad Pro if you have one. It's amazing on that display, and that's where I first played it. And that, I don't know if the Steam one does this or not. I assume it does, but you can zoom to a certain level, which is super helpful because sometimes you want to get in there on the detail and see what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
But even if you're just a fan of delightful, doodly, big artwork like this with this whole screen filled with it, it's a great thing that way. It's really
so
cool.
Fun.
Yeah. But you know, it also takes a little patience. I don't think you can just rip through this, you know.
No, they keep it well balanced because you'll have a big tough puzzle and you may have one or two and then they'll give you a really easy one.
Yeah.
And just makes you feel like you're progressing right along. Don't feel like you're getting stuck.
Yeah. Well, I'm into that.
Hidden Folks, baby.
Next up for me is a game. I don't know what it is with isometric top-down semi-strategy games for me this week, but you're going to get one more here. Or at least
one more.
At least one more, because actually my third one's kind of that too. But different kind of game. But anyway, I picked up 2 Point Hospital. And
2 Point Hospital.
2 Point Hospital. Not to be confused with 1 Point Hospital. No, I don't know.
Right, which is totally pointless.
Yeah, there's no point to 1 Point Hospital.
Right, no point exactly. Well, I guess there's a single point, but
good,
yeah, go
good
ahead.
Point. But good point. See what I did? Anyway, excuse me. It's a game that is very much in the vein of Hospital Tycoon. Those kinds of games. Yeah, it's one of those. And one of the big advantages of the game, in my opinion, is that it maintains that humor that that game and those series were kind of known for. For example, if you think you're going to get a simulation of a hospital where every decision you make is like, Oh my gosh, just what about are we going to get cancer pay? It doesn't do any real medical stuff. It's all hokey majokey. Like today, in an early level, I had to cure at least 3 patients of what they called lightheadedness. And for that, and the lightheadedness was people walking in with light bulbs on their where their head should be. And you got to cure them of that. There were some other people that came in with some kind of weird Freddie Mercury disease. And before anyone thinks it's some kind of AIDS joke, it wasn't at all. It's just that they looked like Freddie Mercury. They had on his, you know, yellow pants and whatever shirt and the dumb mustache. And then they would get cured and they would look like normal, regular men and women after they were done. So it was just like this very odd. Everything's like that. All of the cases are very odd. When you go in to get a diagnosis, the doctor sends you into, you know, one of the rooms where there's like a weird scanner, and the scanner will remove your head and then scan your head and then put it back on and say, oh, it looks like you're okay now. You got your head back. Like, it's very goofy. The artwork, or I should say the animation and character art, remind me a lot of sort of Wallace and Gromit Aardman animations style. And you can put, you know, here, put some benches in. People can sit while they wait. That makes them more patient. Put a plant in the corner, and that will help people with their mood. Put a drink machine there. Make sure you put trash cans, or else the janitors will get all bogged down with too much work to do. And make sure you have enough doctors and nurses doing stuff, or else you're going to lose patients. Ah. Literally, yeah. You'll have people die, and then you'll have ghosts that haunt your hospital, which...
What?
Totally sucks. I love that kind of stuff. It's a really fun goofball thing. And would also, Free Rangers in the chat is right, it would be an amazing tablet game. And I'll bet they've got plans, but right now it's PC only. And I think it Kickstartered and went real popular, and this is the result.
So everybody's got to ask, what's the name mean? What's that?
I have no idea. I still don't know what 2 Point means.
I mean, the developer is 2 Point Studios, so I'm assuming that they just put they wanted to call it Hospital and said,
maybe one day they'll do like 2 Point Tower or 2 Point, you know, some other sim thing. I don't know. Maybe that's a very good question, actually. But I love the pharmacist office is great because it's basically just like a shake machine. And you go in there and you kind of make your concoction. It heals you or it doesn't. You're trying to make money, but at the same time, you're just trying to save lives. There's goals
you're trying not to be a dick. We've talked about this already, right? Yeah.
Now, here's the best part, in my opinion. Up till now, it's been a bunch of scenarios to play. People have really liked it. Nicely reviewed. People are into it. I held off because I read it didn't have a true sandbox mode. I want a true endless start what I want, do what I want sandbox mode, because that's how I play games like this. And they just did that like a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, did they really? Because I was curious about that, because on howlongtobeat.com, I was checking out the main story, and it's in a pretty hefty 51 hours for average on finishing the main story. So sandbox even more.
Yeah.
Even
more, which is cool. So I'm completely satisfied with my purchase. I like this game a lot. I think it's cool, and it's polished and just nicely done, and I really like it. And I think the AI is a hoot, and everything kind of behaves the way you expect them to. Everything's goofy, but at the same time, people are lining up where they're supposed to be. If they're impatient, you know why. You click on them, you're like, I don't have enough restrooms here. And I watched a patient come in and run clear across the building holding his butt like he had to go. He got to the can and there weren't enough stalls for him. So he screamed or got mad and left, and that was it. I didn't get that patient. So, you know, there's just all this stuff going on. If you like tycoon games and little life sim games, this is a good one. 2 Point Hospital.
And I agree with the chat room there. It's like, $35, that's still a little bit steep, Smidian. But hey, you know what, Smidian? If you head over to Fanatical, which does games, and they do game bundles, they have it currently, which is the lowest price I've seen it, at $27.64 for Steam.
Yeah, I think it's worth it. I mean, maybe wait for a sale or whatever, but the reason I think it's worth it is there's a lot of game here. This isn't...
Right.
People may see this on the surface and go, oh, it's goofy and cartoony and looks like it shouldn't be that big a deal. It's a big, complex, lots to think about. I mean, if you really want to go nuts on the financial part of it, like making your hospital super financially successful and all that stuff, like there's some depth here, and that's, you're paying for that.
60 hours worth of play, you know.
Yeah.
For most people, that's pretty hefty. That's good.
Yeah, that's a lot of game time. So, well, here's, look, chat. This is, I just showed him some video, but that's a guy with lightheadedness, the guy with the bulb on his head. Yeah. And it just kind of flickers. They've got great little art touches all the time, and it's clearly made by someone.
What's the remedy for that? Does he have a head when he leaves, or is it just...
No, he gets cured, but I forget. You had to have, I had to build a ward in there and an advanced diagnosis center. Because it was such a weird diagnosis that they had to do extra work to figure out what was wrong with him, even though he came in with a bulb on his head and I could have probably told him what was wrong. But anyway, then you have to have him stay in a ward for a while, and the ward is kind of a bigger space and costs a chunk of change.
Yeah. Robin doesn't like when you stay there, stay in him.
Yeah, that's fine. Like you also,
he's a ward.
Yeah, that is another good point. But here's the other thing I should have mentioned before, or it's an important factor here. Nothing's permanent in the actual minute-to-minute play. So if you're like, oh, I don't like where I put my receptions desk, you can just move it.
Right.
Like, no. Pick it up, move it wherever you want. So you can play a lot of Dollhouse in here if you want, if you're into that.
2 points. Now it's 3 points, hospital.
3 point. I just gave you a whole new point. Exactly.
Right.
Available now.
Have you built an MRI machine yet?
No, but I've seen some funny stuff about around this machine. And it's not technically, I think they call it something else. I've also got a janitor working for me whose last name is Mayonnaise, which really makes me uncomfortable. So there's a lot of that weird humor. There's a lot of weird humor in the game. Very British. A lot of weird stuff. They have a radio station playing the whole time. That guy's kind of a crack up. I don't know. Clearly, these guys had some passion for the source material for these kind of games.
You gotta love it when they go all in.
Yeah, right? I like it a lot. So check it out. It's on PC. Plays on the Mac as well. And has cross saves, so that's nice. I played it in both places. It plays great. And that's it for what I had there. Hey, tell me about
plays great.
Paco Forever. What's this, Brian?
Well, if you've ever played not Paco Forever, just regular Paco, it's an escape simulator. So you start out with a little car, and it's top down, and you just run from the police as fast as you can and try not to run into anything. The reason why this is Paco Forever and not just Paco, the original game allowed you to run from the police, but it was usually in a very small, isolated area, like either in a mall parking lot or in a subdivision, and so you'd have to constantly go around in circles. This one allows you to go much bigger. The driving is a very simple game, how you steer. You have your left thumb on the left-hand side of the screen, and you have your right thumb on the right-hand side of the screen, and you steer. And it's just constantly going, so each car that you can unlock, and by the way, there's like, I think about maybe 15 or 20 cars you can unlock. Each one of them has their own locked-in speed. So you go a certain speed, and you're running from the cops, they go a certain speed always, and you have to evade them by outthinking them.
Now, that's what's the difference between this and Paco 2? Is there a big difference
Paco
between
2,
these?
Same. Paco 2 and the original Paco, they were more area oriented. You would start in an area, and that's where you would play, and then you would unlock the next area. This one is you start out at the mall always, and you just kind of, you can go bigger and bigger into the city. And that's important because as you get further in the city, you start getting these random encounters of strangeness, which allow you to unlock more cars if you interact correctly. So the whole goal is to see how long you can run from the police before they you know, spin you out, run you off the road, and basically destroy you. So very simple game mechanic, but it is hours and hours of fun as I've been feeling under the weather. This is a free game but with ads, or I think I paid $2.99 and I removed the ads, which was definitely do that if you like it, because there's a lot of ads.
I agree. I played Paco both on mobile and PC. I had Paco 2 on PC. Paco 2 is interesting because it's all about unlocking cars and guns. So the better you get, the further you get, the more money you get, and the more stuff you can unlock, and it's kind of GTA-ish and all that, and I enjoyed that a lot. This one,
you'll unlock special abilities. Okay, so let's say you're running from the cops. If two cops collide, most of the time they will create a package, a present, a gift box, and that gift box will follow you until it catches up with you. It goes faster than you.
Like real life. Like real life.
You're just like real life. Yeah. Every time a cop wrecks, I get a present.
Yeah.
And so it'll follow you, and then it'll open up, and then you'll have options. Like you'll have like bombs where you can blow up everything on the screen. You've got sky support, same thing essentially, but it takes a little wider area. Then you have like a wrecking ball that you can drag behind you, and as you weave and turn and drift, you can knock things out and keep on going.
Wow.
It's you pretty much can take the way it's laid out in a grid. So you pretty much head in one of four directions. Now you can weave in and out of those directions, and I suggest that because this is kind of like playing Pac-Man. If Pac-Man sees you coming towards a certain wall, all the ghosts will go, you know, to that area. Same thing here. If you're heading towards in a certain direction, suddenly you'll start having cops showing up right in your face.
That's true, so except for Pinko, right? Pinko is the stupid pink ghost.
Yeah, he was.
Was
he
it Pinko?
What he to do.
It's not Pinko. Is it Pinky? Pinky.
Was it? Yeah. Pinky. He's, I like Pinko, though.
Yeah, Pinky was a dipshit.
Lousy Pinko
he was
ghost.
A dipshit. He'd come around the corner and go, and just keep going. Right. And the red guy was the one you want to watch out for. What was his name?
Right.
Jasper. Fillmore.
Yeah, Jasper or Blue.
I don't remember the
name. I can't remember. It's been so long, and I've been sick. What do you want from me?
No,
I can barely
both of us are. I
can
have
barely
a good
remember
memory.
Paco.
No, I'm loaded up on Dayquil or whatever I am. I think it's messing me up with words. I can't say right. words today, so I'm with
it really
you.
Is.
I feel you.
So Paco forever. So that not in addition to all of that, in addition to, you know, you can have a little UFO guy follow you around. He's like a drone, and he will shoot the cops out of the way for you with some success sometimes.
Sure.
So if you get to certain areas, a random encounter, there'll be different things. Like there's like aliens in some areas, and you have to like avoid those aliens. And if you do it in the right way, then you can unlock a car. If you get to a certain area, there's like a Le Mans area where you can like go around in circles. And if you go around the pole enough times, you'll unlock a car there.
Oh, nice.
And yeah, it's like this. Every time you think you got it figured out, there's like this little thing that pops up. And since the challenges, like I'm still trying to unlock the ghost because there's a graveyard in a certain area, but it doesn't show up enough. So when it does show up, I freak out because I got to knock out down all the tombstones. And of course I'm freaking out, and there's like eight cop cars like right on top of me. I'm trying to like spin and hit it just right.
Yeah.
It hardly ever works.
Nobody wants that. I get it.
Nobody wants that. But the cars are fun because there's one I like the basic car that you get, but I also like one called the Groove Bus. And it has like this really tight turn radius. So you can basically just, it's kind of slow. It is a little unwieldy, but once you figure out how to steer it, it does really good things.
All right. And I like the devs. They do cool stuff, and they support that thing too.
Yeah. It only takes one collision to die unless you have, the only one I've unlocked so far that I know that you can have more than one collision is, I believe it's a fire truck. Oh, that's my favorite part. When you're doing the fire truck, you also, there's a giant mode. So like if, and you don't have to be the fire truck, it's really any of the cars,
right.
But the fire truck was the coolest one, a giant size. Cause it gets really big compared to the screen. You just run over the cops and you know me.
Yep.
I like the big giant stuff.
I want to get you, dude. I'm with you.
Yeah. So Paco forever free with ads or for a couple more dollars, just,
Yes. By the way, Paco 2 is on Steam also, which is where I play it.
Oh,
And
this is on my
whole
lap.
Yeah, forever. I don't think is yet, but Paco 2 is really fun on the PC. Turns out dual stick controls on an Xbox One controller are perfect for that game. Yeah.
Really? Yeah. That sounds interesting.
Yeah, it'll make you never want to touch a touchscreen again after you do it. So don't
never. I'm not touching the touchscreen again. Yeah. Forget it.
Don't ever do it. All right, my final game requires a little bit of audio treatment. Okay.
Ooh, yes, please.
So the reason I'm doing this is because this is one of the reasons, if not the main reason, that I love it so much. And there are many reasons to like this game, but what I like is how they have
There's many reasons to like this game. This game is my game.
Is my game. There are many like it, but this one's mine. they've nailed the tone of the Warhammer stuff so well here that it's my favorite treatment of Warhammer 40K. Like just the lore and character stuff. I love how cool this sounds and looks. So I'm just going to put up a little trailer here. This is how the game actually begins. And you guys at home can hear this awesome dialogue at the beginning. So check this out. And by the way, this is all about tech priests and Mechanicus. Basically, it's a space cult of tech priests who, I mean, think of it as like an ancient, not ancient, but in like a more fantasy setting.
Right.
It would be like, you know, wizards and mages with their dark magic and their weird sorcerer ways and stuff like that. But this is set in the far future, and these are, it's almost like they've come all the way back around to that kind of religious cultism around magic. But the magic in this case is hacking terminals and hacking other things and taking away your humanity and adding more machine, for the machine is great or whatever. And they read scripture from these 40K scriptures all the time that are just, oh my gosh. All right. Anyway, so here's a taste. You get a little idea what this is like. So here you go. Just a taste.
From the moment I understood the weakness of my flesh, it disgusted me. I craved the strength and certainty of steel. I aspired to the purity of the blessed machine. Your kind cling to your flesh as if it will not decay and fail you. One day, the crude biomass that you call the temple will wither, and you will beg my kind to save you. But I am already saved. For the machine is immortal.
Oh, you don't even know what that does for me.
What? That absolutely is Jack, man. That's some serious smack talk, too.
Oh, it's so good. It's so good. And they've just really killed it. They know what this is supposed to sound like, look like, feel like. And that's
wow,
so
it just
important.
Came out like last week.
Yeah, it's brand new. Right. But the guys that you're controlling, you're controlling these tech priests. You take them out on these missions. The actual gameplay is a turn-based affair, a little bit like you'd expect from, I think XCOM is actually kind of a bad example because the mechanics are very different in the actual play, but it's turn-based. So in the same way that chess is turn-based, I guess this is also turn-based. It's you take turns. Interesting. But you are trying to figure a bunch of crap out. Some of that means you land on a planet and go hunting for some stuff. Sometimes it's another ship, and you're kind of in these old derelicts, and you're trying to find out what happened in there. Sometimes there's really cool technology to find, discover, and keep. Sometimes that's bad. It blows up in your face and your guys get hurt. You have all kinds of powers in there that you can sort of express. You have these floating skulls. I forget what they're called. There's a big, for people who are actual Warhammer 40K aficionados, you're all laughing at me now because I have a laughable understanding of the universe. I just know I love it. But I never really played the tabletop stuff, so I don't have that reference point. I've read some of the Horus Heresy books and loved them. And I really like when a game gets close to just getting the taste of that world out and properly in my brain. And this game is so doing that for me. And when you have these like little meetings before you go out and deploy your dudes to fight, they're all kind of arguing. So a lot of times they'll be sitting in like the little room where you're deciding who you're going to take and how you're going to equip them before you go down. They have these conversations like, here, I'll play some of it. Here you go. And they're just these drawings. Oh, it's so cool. These drawings of these characters are like, you know, tubes and wires hanging off of everything. There's no way it's a real eye anymore. His eye's just like a freaking cyborg implant. And they're discussing everything in a very mechanical way. Some have more humanity than others. Others have gone full machine and have no emotional anything. Others talk about how the fear I have kept, but I have put it back so it is farther away. I only need it to remind me what it feels to be human. Like, this sort of thing. But none of them actually speak English. It's all this like trippy, like computery back and forth. There's English and other spoken dialogue, but it's usually not them because they're speaking in code is the idea.
Right.
And so sometimes one of them will say, did not find the thing that we needed, go to line 12, rerun program, like a lot of that. It's so freaking cool. Gosh dang it, it's cool. It's just a cool freaking, cool. Here, I'm going to do a little more. Here we go. Here's a little more dialogue. Oh, I hit pause. Okay, here we go. That was a lady one. Let's see if we can get her back. Okay, here she is. Oh, it's so badass. And that I can't even explain why I'm so attached to it.
No, I get it. That is some layered effect. That's right up there.
What it is it they've built a very complex and thought out and fleshed out world over the last 25 years or whatever.
Right, right.
So they, you know, they've clearly done the work. It's just when I see something that's well prepared in the Warhammer 40K universe, I'm immediately hit by the completeness of it. It feels like a finished place, a place I could live in. I mean, it'd be a terrible place. It sounds like an awful future, but you know, it's always just like in the 41st millennium, many have found this gaba, and the Omni Messiah and the freaking. They got their weird tech Bible that they're all into. Right. Anyway, I haven't even said the name of the damn game. It's Warhammer 40K Mechanicus. I haven't actually said it.
We've kind of said Mechanicus, but I don't think you said the whole thing together. It is a great looking game, and it's like $30.
I got it for $30.
Cheaper elsewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I'm told that it's not horribly long, but that's probably okay for me because I don't need.
Yeah, it's
game.
Hard to say because usually I try to find out how long to beat, but there's really no information yet. It's very new.
It's too new. Game, so. Yeah, probably too new. The fight.
Apparently
I think
longer
the,
than the 7 days.
I think the fighting's very good. The fighting actually reminds me a little bit of Invisible Ink, like you have an increasingly higher alert rate as you go, so you want to balance how long it's taking you to do stuff with getting stuck in a room where you're analyzing something too long, because if the alert level goes up, more of the Necrons are going to show up, and these guys really want you dead. And I don't know, dude. I don't know why it's hitting, why this is hitting me so good right now, but it's exactly what I want. And I think it's fantastic. So highest recommendation I can give on this show for Warhammer 40K Mechanicus. And it made me go read like all this wiki stuff on the backstory. The tech priest stuff is so cool, man. So cool. It is like, these are the ones that are helping the Emperor. They're helping the Emperor never die. They basically are keeping this corpse of the Emperor alive indefinitely so that they can maintain power in the universe. And they do it just through the most like nasty possible ways. They have to get the life essence of other races to do it. Like there's a lot that's happening here that's very fantasy, but just set in this gritty future. But even their ships, they look like giant castles in space. Like it's so good. It's so freaking good.
It looks
good.
Amazing. Okay, so I'm adding it to my wish list on Steam.
Yeah.
And I generally get a few Steam gift cards during the holidays. People know me well.
Mm-hmm. Might be one for you.
This might be the first thing I pick up.
Gameplay is challenging, but not too challenging. Because I'll be honest, I'm not the best turn-based tactics guy. I don't think at all. In fact, I think I'm kind of bad at it. But I always enjoy it.
You're thinking two turns ahead. Maybe.
I'm bad at chess. I like playing them. I've always enjoyed chess. Right. I've always enjoyed tactical gameplay. But I'm not the smartest guy in the room when it comes to this stuff ever. Right. So.
You just want them to say something cool again. You don't care what it takes.
So, I mean, I wonder if somebody playing it may find it not as not as challenging as they'd like it to, but maybe not, because there's also stuff you do during your playthroughs where I'm like, I'm not going to go look at that thing, because if I do that, I'll either get hurt or it's going to delay me, which means my thing goes up. So my play style is actually making it adapt to me. And I think somebody who's looking for that harder challenge is going to play it differently and therefore get the challenge they want. So I don't know. I'm just impressed with it.
I'm looking at the reviews on Steam and I'm seeing people who are 40K fans and they're giving it positive reviews and saying it's a very respectful it's very respectful to the universe. And so
those guys can get picky, man.
Positive.
I don't know if you've ever spent much time with a hardcore 40K guy, you better be careful what you say around
when
those
you spend
fellas.
That much time on something, you better believe, you better be passionate.
Damn straight. All right.
You'd think they were playing Diablo 3 or something. Jeez.
Oh, my gosh. Diablo. What in the world? All right. Let's talk about The Garden Between, which I have and own but have not played yet. So your review now will push me in whatever direction I'm going to go. What do you think?
Well, PlayStation 4 is where I had this. I think I've actually paid for this one, believe it or not. I heard good things about it. It came out in September this year. Mm-hmm. The Garden Between is a puzzle adventure, and I'm going to go with story game because it is all about the revelation of the story. That's why you're completing the puzzles in this game. And it's got beautiful artwork. I don't know if you pulled that up on the screen or not, but
it's gorgeous.
It's gorgeous. Just these great, rich colors and beautiful shapes. And it has to do with, there's two houses is where it starts out at. And in between the two houses, the garden in between those two houses is a tree house. Mm. And there are two young people in there. And they're having conversations. And so you know something's going on.
They're making out. Oh no.
They're not making out. Okay. There may have been some making out. I don't know. I got there too late. Okay. But anyway, lightning strikes, and suddenly you're thrown into this very surreal world of objects that are larger than life. So elements in the story that are needing to be told are suddenly supersized. So gotcha. you got big cassette tapes and computers and tree houses that are way bigger than they're supposed to be. And the puzzle itself, the puzzle mechanic game itself is very simple, deceptively so.
Yeah, I've heard this. So I've heard that like you'll see something that looks like, oh, this must be this complicated solution.
Right.
And you're just being blind to the easy thing, and that you're satisfying. Blind. Like it's satisfying to see that or whatever.
It is very satisfying. It is a perspective game. So what happens is the controls are very simple. You go right and left, and to do that, pick your choice in the controller because they're mapped. You know, if you like your bumpers and you want to go right bumper, then it goes fast forward through the story. And then if you go on the left hand, just about any trigger or stick is going to take you back in the other direction, rewind it. And so what happens is your characters run on a very specific path. And then once you get to a certain point on that path, you can interact with your character to kind of flip a train switch. So you're like, okay, we was going in this direction, but we flipped the switch, and now my characters can pass this area. Mm. So that's the puzzle solving part is trying to figure out how to get to every little area in each of these surreal looking perspective based puzzles. Because what happens is you may walk up, and you're usually going like in a spiral staircase way. By the way, it's called the Gardens Between, and you're going like in a spiral staircase kind of way, and so you may not see the solution until your characters actually line up to a certain point, and it's real easy to walk past your solution. Mm. And so you have to rewind it. So that's what the rewinding, fast forwarding is all about.
Yeah.
Every time you get through a certain area, you're rewarded with a little bit of a little film that will tell you what these characters mean to each other and what the story is about.
All right.
Very, very artistic. And there are sometimes there's areas where you think you have it all figured out. You know that you pull this bell here and it opens something over here. And then suddenly you find out, no, that's not the solution. It was something to do with perspective.
Right.
But I really enjoyed this game. It was a pretty quick play, though. I don't know how much it is currently.
I have it on Switch is where I have it. I have it currently on Switch.
Right. I have it on PS4. You said you have it on Switch. Yeah. I think it's on Steam as well.
It is. It's all over the place. I think Xbox has it. They've all got it, I think.
Probably so. I wouldn't spend more than $10 or maybe $15 at the most. It's a good experience and it's fun to play, but it's very short. Very short.
I want to say it is like $15. I think that's it. Yeah. I'm pretty sure that's the price or something.
I think it's well priced because someone had clued me into it and I was like, oh, I think it was like $7.99 or something on the PlayStation Plus store when I picked it up. But that was like a month ago.
Getting kind of a Ico vibe, like a
yes, absolutely.
Shadow of the Colossus, sort of cool, you know, thoughtful, puzzle-y. I don't know how to explain it, but those kinds of games.
It's a little more on rails than that because, like I said, it's just, but the visual style, yes, absolutely.
Yeah, that seems pretty neat. But maybe they'll make out in the end. I'm looking forward to that. That'll be great.
I finished the story.
Mm-hmm.
That's not what happens.
Oh, damn it. All right, well. There you go. The Gardens Between. I will play it because Brian recommended it, and I have it on the Switch, and I should just play it. All right. Time to do a fun little deal. Oh, man, we still have these from last time. All right, here you go.
It's me, Mario.
It's time for Guess My Game. We put together a couple of clips of game sounds, and Brian did one. I did one. I'm going to start this time, see if you can figure out what the heck it is. And if you can, you're the man. If you're not, then you're not. So here you go, Brian. See if you can guess my game. Any ideas?
This feels very Qbert era.
That's probably about right. Yeah, probably about right. I'll give you a hint.
A little better than Atari, though.
Oh yeah, definitely better than Atari. I'll give you a hint. It's NES era game.
Okay, that's what I was guessing. Yeah.
And it is. Here's the other hint. It is a ripoff, a good ripoff though, like a really well playing ripoff of probably my favorite arcade game of all time.
Oh, so the Climber?
Nope.
Oh, Marble Madness?
Nope.
Those are the two you always tell me you love.
No, my favorite all-time arcade game is Joust.
Oh, well, yeah, Joust.
So what's
it didn't sound anything like Joust. Wait. You just gave it away because you said it was like Joust, NES.
Yeah, there you go.
And I want to say you recently got this the NES Mini.
Well, yes, it's on there.
Is it on there?
It's
okay.
It's also on the Switch's monthly Switch thing.
Oh, interesting. So is it that balloon fight?
You got it. Balloon fight.
You did it?
Yeah, you did it. Congratulations.
Yeah, but I didn't get it from just the sound, though. You had to give me clues. It was like a good game of
Clue.
Hidden Folks.
Yeah. Of Hidden Folks, yeah. No, I adore that. For whatever reason, Joust has always been my favorite, and I think that Balloon Fight is a damn fine ripoff of Joust, and it is a ripoff. Don't let there be any question about it. But it's a good one, and it's fun to play. And if you have the Switch service thing that they've got now, what's it called? Nintendo, whatever it is, their monthly doodah.
Nintendo, give me $4.
It's like $4 a month. Yeah,
it's pretty expensive.
They have I don't know how many games total now, but they got a bunch of old classic games that's included. Totally worth playing. Love that game. And you should play it too. All right, Brian, I'm going to play yours. I have no idea what this is.
And I have no idea what it is either, so hopefully I'll remember when you play it.
All right, here we go.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm sure you're thinking, I played so much of this.
It's really familiar.
Yeah, you played so much of it.
Okay, hold on. Zombies are coming. Oh, what's wrong with me? Why can't I place this? Oh.
2009. You would have had it on your phone, most likely.
Oh, this is Plants vs. Zombies.
Yeah.
I should have got that right away. That music is super familiar. Yeah,
I figured it was one of those things that is just far enough away that you kind of forget exactly, you know, the nuances of it, but still new enough that you would get frustrated. You're
it was a favorite back then. It was really good.
Oh yeah,
I think it's all gone a little weird now, but after EA bought PopCap, things got strange.
Yeah, good old PopCap. I love those games. Peggle, all that stuff, man.
It's good stuff, man. The original Bejeweled, the grandfather of all match three games. These guys are due a whole bunch of credit. Hey, that music means it's time for us to give a quick news story for the week. Now, we did have a thing about those guides going away. I did want to mention those real quick because it's old news now, but now I forgot the name of them. What are they called?
Planograms.
No.
Thank God we're not losing them.
No, the name of the company.
Strategy guides. They're strategy
guides.
Yeah,
but who is the company? What's the company name?
They came out in 1989.
Prima, thank you, or Prima, however you say it.
Come on, I'm tortured him.
Anyway, they stopped making them, and I can't believe they were still making them. So, in 2018, we see the demise of the strategy guide. How they existed in the world of the internet for the last 15, 20 years, I don't know.
I would see them in the GameStop, and I would constantly think, you know, I need to get that.
Why though? Why would you want to get that?
To come out.
Yeah, but you could go. I'm telling you, man, the internet killed. There's a reason they're out of business right now.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, that's the reason. I just can't believe they hung on as long as they did. They must have had some other cool stuff. And a lot of times those things would be very artistic, like tons of art in there, concept stuff. And so maybe that was the appeal. But anyway.
Right.
The real news this week is Fortnite has beat out Red Dead Redemption 2 for Golden Joysticks Game of the Year Awards.
Lies.
Nobody's happy about this.
Damn dirty lies. Except, no, right? Nobody. The people who are playing Fortnite don't give a crap about the Golden Joystick Awards.
They don't care. They probably don't even know they exist. But anyway, the Golden Joystick Awards have determined, for example, this is unrelated, but Subnautica, this is that underwater thing. I own this. It's a cool game. Underwater survival sim is really a horror game in disguise. And if you don't believe me, give it a try sometime and see how it goes. And I would agree, it's pretty scary.
I've been holding out to do it in VR.
Oh yeah, you can. It's VR ready. In fact, I think at the beginning it may have been VR only during beta or early access. But anyway, it is. They're calling it PC Game of the Year. CD Projekt's upcoming Cyberpunk 2077 took the title for Most Wanted Game, and Fortnite beat out not on PC heavyweight Red Dead Redemption 2 to claim the overall Game of the Year title.
Lies.
Now here's some you might like though. Best storytelling, God of War.
Agreed.
You liked God of War a lot.
Storytelling was the main reason.
No, it was an incredible game. It was really awesome across the board. Studio of the Year, Sony Santa Monica, responsible for God of War. Best new streamer broadcaster. Who cares about that? Let's see. Mobile Game of the Year. They gave to PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds. Best competitive game, Fortnite. PC Game of the Year, Subnautica. Like I said, PlayStation Game of the Year, God of War. Best co-op game, Monster Hunter World. Xbox Game of the Year.
I have no opinion on that one.
No, you don't, do you? None? Forza Horizon 4. I hear nothing but great things. I should probably play it. Was best Xbox Game of the Year. Best visual design went to God of War. Nintendo Game of the Year, Octopath Traveler. Mm. A game I've been meaning to play. Best indie game, Dead Cells. Woo!
Woot woot!
Told you, Brian, it'd be on some list by the end of the year.
You were right.
The Breakthrough Award went to Unknown Worlds, which is for their game of Subnautica. Critics' Choice Award went to Red Dead Redemption 2. I think that's a good call. Best Audio, God of War. Still Playing Award, World of Tanks. Really? Who's playing World of Tanks? Is everyone playing World of Tanks?
Absolutely. That thing's got big numbers.
I don't like these best streamer awards. I hate them. It's great. I'm glad these streamers are doing good.
It doesn't say Scott Johnson, right?
No, I don't want it to be me either. I can't stand it. I think we're putting way too much on that influencer stuff.
Can't stand it.
Anyway, Brian, let's see. Best performer. Forget about that. Outstanding contribution. Right. Microsoft's adaptive controller. The cool white one with
Right.
If you have physical disabilities or otherwise, that thing's awesome. Best VR game, Skyrim VR. Really?
Fine. I don't know. We're still in an early area for that, I think. Yeah. I don't know.
Game of the year, Fortnite. Nah, I don't know.
I got questions because I noticed that the Golden Joystick Awards, I'm not familiar with how the voting is, but the Critics' Choice Awards would seem to go to Red Dead Redemption, probably because those people are probably in the throes of playing this game when they were doing the voting. So, I mean, was the general public voting for Fortnite because it was so influential before this?
Well, is it even a general public vote? I don't even know who votes on this.
I don't know. I just knew that everybody was triggered. And I was like, yeah, let's do this one because people are so mad about this.
Yeah, it's easy to get all wound up. I mean, I don't begrudge Epic their success with Fortnite. I think they killed it, but I don't know how you call it Game of the Year. It's just, it's for what it is. It's not doing anything. I mean, it's the most popular thing of the year. It's the thing that made the most money. Like, I get that. But if this is a critical award,
Right. That's how I feel. I don't think it's a critical award. So that's the question. Is this more like, I don't know, it's not like MTV Music Awards used to be or something? I mean, is this considered... I don't know enough about these people to say really anything.
What you're doing is reminding me how much I hate awards and award shows and stuff like that.
It's tough.
Not a huge fan.
Don't think it's been called, people, because I'm telling you, there'll be many more award shows now. Plenty of them will put Red Dead Redemption 2 right up there.
Yeah, and Brian and I will get together and talk about the favorite things we played this year. So you'll have our own little mini awards, I guess. We won't call it awards, though.
No, we won't. We'll call it, it pleased us most.
Yeah, it gave us great pleasure. As my dad would say.
Great pleasure.
Yeah, my dad would always say pleasure instead of pleasure. It used to drive me crazy, but whatever. Who am I to Who am I to poo-poo that guy? All right, let's do an email. This came to us from, Nate from Kentucky. Kentucky. Doesn't say where in Kentucky. It's fine. He sent this email to boopshow@gmail.com, and he says this. Hi, Scott and Brian. I recently started listening to Boop Show after many years of being a TMS listener. I was super excited to find out that Boop is just the final score without Nicole. Needless to say, I have another Frog Pants podcast added to my list of podcasts to listen to. Well, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
We'll take even if you're late. It's fine. Also, during episode 192, you all had an email talking about how the Battle Royale video game craze might be driven by a primal urge to be the best or survive. Brian, during that discussion, talked about how multiplayer games grew from 20 to 40 to 100 people at the same time. That reminded me of a game I highly enjoyed called Mag. It was a PlayStation 2 game, I think, or 3 maybe.
Right.
Anyway,
I think was it PS2?
I want to say it was 3 because
it seemed like it would make more sense in 3 because you really didn't have a big contingent of online.
Yeah, the online stuff didn't really kick in until PS3. Plus, the Mag team, the dev team at the time, were the guys that did those SOCOM games, which were very popular.
Oh, yeah.
And I remember that was a big deal. Anyway, it was 60-plus players, big, huge map, with 3 clans and teams against each other. Anyway, I do remember that game, and I remember thinking it was pretty cool for its time. They didn't seem to support it very long, though, which kind of bummed me out. But no.
I never got a chance to play it. I wanted to. I was aware of it. Just never happened.
You knew it existed.
Right.
And it knew you existed. But
was the important part. Yeah. You know me, Mag. You know.
You guys just never touched wieners.
Yeah.
It says, nevertheless, I'm glad to have Boop and listen to, and thanks for the awesome shows Frog Pants puts together for the Horde, Nate from Kentucky. Well, thank you, Nate.
For the Horde!
Thank you for your Horde bias. We are happy to have you here. All right, that's going to pretty much do it for the show. A quick note, normally we like to give away some game codes at the end of the show. We're not doing that today. And the reason we're not doing that today is because I have to run to another podcast when this is over. I've been asked to be a guest on a thing, and so I got to go do it. So we're going to hold those till after.
And we got some good ones. Sniper Elite, Resident Evil, The Dwarves,
yeah.
Saints Row 4.
Oh, that's good stuff. All that stuff's good and free, which is great. So you just have to come back next Monday after the Thanksgiving holiday, and we'll just give you a little bit of, what is that, Cyber Monday? We'll give you a little Cyber Monday.
Ooh, we'll give extra on Cyber Monday.
Yeah. I mean, that sounds dirty, but sure. Let's do it.
Right.
So that'll be next Monday, a bunch of free games and codes. Big thanks to everybody who sends us those. If you have codes of your own and you're like, man, I don't need these, give them away on the show. You can send them to us at boopshow@gmail.com. We'd be happy to find happy homes for them and give you credit on the show.
Happy homes.
I think that's it. Brian, you got anything else you want to mention?
Yes, Scott. This week, I'm going to play some games.
Oh, that's a great idea. Me too. I'm going to keep convalescing and getting better. And play some video games as well.
That's actually a good question. We're going to have time to play this Thanksgiving?
You and I, you mean? Like together?
Just anybody. Are we going to have time to play?
Well, I'm going to have time. Yeah.
Some mobile maybe?
Yeah. I'm going to do more than mobile. I think I'm going to get the kids all on their PCs and we'll play some Diablo co-op and run some riffs and stuff. I think that'd be the thing to do. Yeah.
I think it's the way to go.
Yeah. So we want to wish you guys all a very merry, happy hopefully potentially not weird Thanksgiving, which is coming up here this week. And that's only if in the U.S. Everyone else, sorry, you don't have a holiday. Sorry. Nothing you can do about it.
You can eat.
Just go ahead and eat. We are at frogpants.com/boop. That's frogpants.com/BOOP. You can find us via email, boopshow@gmail.com. We are on Twitter, @boopshow. You can find Brian at @TheBrianDunaway. I'm at Scott Johnson, and the show is also on Reddit, boopshow.reddit.com. We take your suggestions and your news stories there. I think that's going to do it. Yeah, that's it. Thank you guys so much for all your help. We'll be back next week. Have a great Thanksgiving. And try to not get too big and huge.
Let's dance out of here.
Bye now.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
I don't like steam.
There you go.